morning. Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And is that a beautiful morning of the Monday of the 11th of May, 2026. And this is a platform that we look at economic trade and also political affairs and everything that affect our bread and butter. We are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station, that is Eagle FM. We know it's very cold. We know it's very cold today. But you must make sure that you are waking up. You must make sure that you are awake so that we continue with the struggle of economic emancipation. Wake up and make sure that you take that jacket, take that jersey, take that jacket, and make sure that you do what needs to be done. Because the weather should not be an excuse for you not to do anything. The weather should not be an excuse for you to delay that plan, because, you know, we have a lot of works to do, particularly in Namibia. Let us wake up and climb that corporate ladder. Let us wake up and climb that political ladder. But at least you climb it with content, and also make sure that when you climb, you must make sure that you are moving with content and impact. Don't just be a leader, somebody who said, I serve here, I also served here. But, you know, there is no tangible evidence that there is, you know, being seen. Yeah, and this morning, the encouragement that we are giving you is that the battle is never end until you win. It's never end until you win, because, you know, as you know, when you're looking at you look at the history of those who made it in life, they failed many times than, you know, people that they have overtaken. Just make sure that, you know, you continue with the battle of economic emancipation, and make sure that every day that you're waking up, do your best, because there is no cavalry. There is nobody who come and save you. When you understand that, you know, regardless of us being taught to say, your network is your net worth, which is quite understandable. Understand that 80% of your life is a do-alone project. And there's something that I'm also, you know, I was arguing with it, but you have to come to the reality with it to say, sometimes where you are in life depends on the choices that you have made, and you are the product of continuation of choices that you have made. And you continue doing that, you'll be able to get where you want to get into. So that's why this morning, make sure that you move on. Make sure that you don't give up. And also understand that life will never get easy. Life will never get easy. It's like maybe an oil price, or the world oil price, to never go down. And it depends on how you navigate through. And also, just for you to adjust your mind to the reality on the ground, that by next week, Monday, you must come to the reality of the adjustment in terms of the price of transportation. That is the price of taxi. And you'll also be able to understand that will also impact the price that you pay when it's come to long distance. But adjust yourself and also see how you can get through that. So it's a very good thing that you are awake. And before we look at continental affairs, you know, things which are happening in Namibia, you know, sometimes you really ask yourself a question to say, is this the country where I am in? Because things which are happening in Namibia, it's not only about gender-based violence, but the incidents which happened in the weekend where young men have killed the grandmother, you really realize that, you know, young men or the boy child need assistance, and need assistance as of yesterday. And the project of gender equality, and also the project of women empowerment, it has been clearly indicated that there's also some loopholes, particularly when it comes to empowering one sector of the society and also leaving other. The question has always been asked to say, child who is brought up very well, particularly a young woman who is brought up very well, taught various, empowered and given opportunity, where does that woman going to get the husband from? So you get the husband from the boy child that you did not empower, the boy child that you neglect, the boy child that when things get tough, he's on his own. The boy child that is in the street using alcohol and drugs, the boy child that is going to get married to that, well-empowered lady, well-empowered woman, because we understand that if we want to move forward, we need to move equally, not to say, no, you guys, you have, you did not give us an opportunity, now it's our time. Then you understand that things are happening. And this is not an issue to look at the advocate and also those who look at gender equality. We must also look at the real root cause of problems, particularly it's not the first time. Is it drugs? Is it anger management issue? Is it, childhood trauma? Things that cannot be explained because, we need to fix this country. Particularly at that area of empowerment, because otherwise we will really not have a very good society, especially a society that look at the Namibia that you want, because we understand that, there is a lot of things that need to be done. So, today, especially from the hour of 7 there, we'll be in the conversation with a public policy analyst, particularly when you're going to unpack the issue of what have happened in South Africa, especially when the Constitutional Court of South Africa has indicated that Parliament must implement, the process of impeachment, especially looking at the President of South Africa, Cyril Ramaphosa, one of the most known smooth political operator, is cornered by the political system. But we are not here to celebrate somebody who is cornered by the political system. We are going to ask a question, particularly when you look at the test of democratic institutions in South Africa, and also what does it mean to Africa, and also particularly to Namibia, to say when there is a test in institution of democracy, particularly South Africa, what is that Namibia can learn, or what impact does that, have when it comes to Namibia? Because if you listen very well to Justice Meyer, Namibia name is there. It's all over. It's not me to say away. But, that case is also our case. And if you look at, some of the suspects, particularly those who have, stole money from the private farm of Cyril Ramaphosa. Those are Namibians. But the question today, and to look at political and also public policy analysts, particularly when they are going to look at the impact that will have, especially the change of guards, which is most likely in South Africa. What is that change of guards we have in Namibia? And also to understand that if you look at the caliber of presidents of Ramaphosa, it's a strong president who has economic backing, especially to both black and also white business people. And you must also go and look at the records, particularly when he got to power. What was the change, particularly in terms of, the power of rent, and also what was happening, particularly when he got into power. But to put only that, to say it's not only the president of South Africa, but he's also an influential figure of the most industrialized African country, and also somebody who connect Africa, and also, or maybe to say the voice of Africa, and also when it comes to global affairs, because South Africa was the only country that was at the center of, global realignment, whether it's BRICS, whether it's G20, and almost became part of G8 and G7. But one thing that you need to understand is that it's not an easy thing, but one also need to look at to say what will happen if there is a real check and balance, particularly when it comes to institution of the state. What does that mean to Namibia? And also what can we learn, especially looking at that context moving forward. And in the weekend, I was reading it. It's one interesting article, particularly those who are interested in, those who are interested in Namibian governance. There's one interesting article written by, Institute for Security Studies that is looking at Namibia and also analyzing Namibian presidency and also her approach, especially when it comes to corruption. Look at the article written by, you know, Institute for Security Studies. It's the latest article that is looking at and analyzing Namibia president and also her approach when it comes to the affairs of corruption. What are some of the measures in place? What are some of the success, challenges, and also what the world is saying? Because if you read what the world is saying about you, you get a picture. You get a picture of, you know, what where we are standing as a country, and also how the world look at us. Because sometimes it's not about how you see yourself; it's how also people see yourself, and also how people also interpret the way you do things. And the other thing. Understand that Namibia will send a delegation. Namibia will send a delegation, especially to Uganda, to the inauguration General Yoweri Kaguta Museveni, in the name of, he's going to be led by our Prime Minister, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, send a delegation to represent Namibia. And if you look at politics, really, you also need to understand that Namibia, when it comes to African politics, I think the president is also very strategic and also understand when to speak and when not to speak. Because one will really see, that, you know, when it comes to politics of Africa, ask yourself a question. Why we did not send a delegation to Tanzania? Why we did not send a delegation to Tanzania when Mama Samia Suluhu Hassan was inaugurated? Why we did not send a delegation if Tanganyika or Tanzania, Tanganyika by then, was the host of all the liberation struggle? And there is no history of African liberation struggle without Tanzania name. Is it, it must also tell you to say, it says a lot about what happened before and also after the elections, and to say, when we are not happy, we don't speak, we don't condemn people, but we show with our action to say, if Mama Samia was our number one delegate at our inauguration, why we did not send a delegation, why we did not send a congratulation? But it also says a lot about where we stand to say, Namibian principles to democracy are very clear. Whether you are a friend or you are not a friend, if what you are doing is not in accordance, you'll be able to say that, we are not going to support that aspect. But it's quite a very good thing. Looking at the country such as Uganda, I think it's not only going to be an inauguration, but it's also a matter of benchmarking. Because Uganda has done progress, especially when it comes to the manufacturing industry, especially where we want to get into. If you want to look at, if you want to mirror, our NDP-6 and compare with what is happening in Uganda, what we want to do by 2030 is what Uganda is doing now. Mineral beneficiation that our president is always speaking about. Value addition. Stopping a consumer economy is what is happening in Uganda right now. Utilization of their natural resources, stopping exporting raw materials, is what's happening in Uganda. They did not chase away the Western world. They did not chase away the Chinese. They did not chase away the Japanese. They did not chase away the Europeans. They said, we understand you, but let us finish and process here. Look at the deal that Canada wanted to do with Museveni. Then you understand that there is a lot that we must learn, especially from countries such as Uganda. And there is no country without weaknesses, but there is always one thing that we must learn. And the other thing that this week we'll look at Namibia EU a business forum. And it's quite a very important thing, especially to those who are going to attend, to say, let us first read and also look at where we want to get into as a country before we engage. Let us read where we want to get into as a country. Let us only not speak about things when we are outside. Our engagement, Namibian business people, when they are going to engage with EU business people, they must have in mind to say, well, this is where we want to get as a country. It's not about we want the deal to be finished tomorrow because we are late. And there's really something that I'm always quoting to say, there was a certain public figure who said, no, we are going to lose this deal because we are not going to get it anymore. Let us get, even if 10% is fine. But to say, no, chief, it's not your case. The resources are for the country, it's not for you. It's not for you at all. So that's why it's not only about Namibian businesses getting into deals, but Namibian businesses getting into respected deals. Not to say we want 50-50% where we do not ever, but to get into respected deals that will be able to get us something, that also be able to show that we have dignity. Because there's always something which I'm asking myself to say. How do people think when they come to Namibia? How do people speak about us when we are not there as a country? Imagine a delegation coming from Japan to Namibia, or a delegation coming from Britain to Namibia, a delegation of business people. How do they look at our country? And if you start asking yourself that question, then it will be going to be very easy for you to position yourself to say, when US come to Namibia, when we are not there, what do they think about us? What do they think they are going to get from us? And what do they think they are going to learn from us? Because the moment you ask ourselves that question, then it's easy for us to operate. So let us look at a short commercial break. Then we'll be able to look at continental affairs. And from there, we'll be able also to look at what is happening at home. Then we'll engage with political analyst and also public policy analyst, particularly looking at the future of South African politics, which is eventually our politics, because we share a lot of commonalities. We share commonalities, either it's historical, either it's historical, you know, background, either it's economic relation, either it's trade relation. Looking at our latest international trade balance, you really see that South Africa continue to be our number one trade partner. We still did not diversify. We are still trying to get there, but maybe we are continue to get there. And if Cyril fall, what will happen? What will happen? And those who studied governance and politics will be able to tell you. And there is one guy who I don't agree with in some things, but I respect him. Prince Machel, one of the leading political analysts who predicted almost everything which is happening in South Africa currently as we are speaking. And he spoke about those things 10 years ago. And people are calling him a political seer. But he's somebody who uses a tool of analysis to look at the future. To say, if you could have used that, or if the state was so intelligent, it could have used that mind to assist in solving problems. Because if somebody can predict problems, that person can also be used to solve problems, to avoid problems. He predicted almost everything. In 2014, 2015, he wrote a book on the fall of ANC, and not from hatred, but from things that he see, using history, presence, and also looking at the future. And he only missed with one point. He even predicted the numbers of votes that they were going to get. And these are some of the things that we should also learn to say, what can Namibia learn, for example, from South African governance? What can we learn from ANC? What can we learn from ZANU-PF? What are the good traits? What are the traits that we are not going to be happy with? Because sometimes saying, I'm going to do well when everything is against you, it's not going to work out at all. But those are the things that we will be able to discuss today, and also to say what can we learn. Because if you look, most of the events which are happening in SA, they're happening in Namibia. I look at the recent ministers are suspended in South Africa compared to Namibia. Now there is a formality. Look at the police structure of South Africa. To say now everybody is acting. Then you also look at Namibia. Then you look at the economic inequality of South Africa. You look at Namibia. Look at youth unemployment in South Africa. You look at Namibia. But there are things that we can learn to say, how can we avoid this? And what can we do moving forward? That's why today, from 7 there, we'll be joined by Zakaria Johannes and also Gabriel Iyambo to look at that context, especially to help us unpack and also to link that case study to Namibia. Because if you are not aware that whatever is happening in South Africa has a direct or indirect impact into Namibia, then you have a long way to go. So let's look at a short commercial break, then we continue with the conversation. However, Samoro is indicating that this is a morning conversational program. You can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401. And remember, the Villager newspaper for today is out like any other Monday. We'll also be able to go through the Villager newspaper and give you the content of what is in the Villager newspaper. So stay tuned. We are here until the hour of 8.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. It's 25 minutes past the hour of 6. You are listening to your number one favorite talk radio station. And looking at what is happening, particularly around the world, be able to realize that when it comes to the case of Zimbabwe, the news that has been spoken about, say Zimbabwe has returned 67 farms. Already 67 farms that were seized under the era of Robert Mugabe. And the government says the farm belong to Denmark, Switzerland, German and Netherlands farmers, and were protected under bilateral investment agreement. And more than 400 white farmers would be allowed to buy back all part of the farms. Agriculture Minister Masuka said in the statement. And I don't understand this policy. Because now the wedding buyer, wedding seller is the other way around, to say they are not only giving away the farms that were taken, but I think there is also an option to say those want their farms back, they should buy it. Because I don't know if it's a reverse colonialism, but you also understand that the government of E.D. Mnangagwa, was the very, stuff, but they also have their economic approach, particularly the way they do things. But let's wait and see how things are going to turn out. And you really see that since the fall of Robert Mugabe, Mnangagwa has been very, very careful in trying to rebuild the relationship either with the West or also other part of the world, especially to return when it comes to return back the economy of Zimbabwe. That was devastated so much, because if you speak about countries that have suffered sanctions in the world, countries that really suffered, number one is Cuba. Then speak about Iran, speak about North Korea, speak about Russia. And in Africa, a country that suffered so much and it has never given up on its people, Zimbabwe. And most of the death that caused in Zimbabwe were not caused because of conflict. It was the impact of sanctions. And also understand that those that we depend so much to give us money, those that we depend so much to fund us, when we do things that they are not happy with, then they will be able to corner us, and they will be able to squeeze us, because it's not only about happy moments, but also about understanding to say, when you are getting these funds, what other aspect will be problematic, especially when it comes to your people, because most of the Zimbabweans who suffered, and people, they look at these things from the face level, because if you look at billions of dollars that were lost in 20 years of sanction of Zimbabwe, if you look at people that died of HIV and AIDS because medications were finished, if you see people that did not get an opportunity to have medical operation due to limited numbers of, medical equipment and infrastructure. If you look at the children who died of hunger, then you must look beyond the obvious, and you realize that it's not only about who is in power. It's about who has the tap of wealth, and what does that mean, particularly to the country that depends so much on the external world, especially for survival. Look around you. Today is very cold. And think about things that you are putting on. How many of those clothes are made in Namibia? Ask yourself that question. How many of those are made in Namibia? How many of those can be made in Namibia? It's not a matter of not appreciating those who brought the clothes. But ask yourself that question to say, even to protect yourself from weather, from the food that you are eating today, from the breakfast that you are eating today, Even if you are eating the breakfast from wherever you find yourself, the ingredients that are going to be used, it could be that 90% of things that we have used today are coming from outside. And understand that we depend so much, we are indirectly enslaved by international financial system that every African leader is trying to move away from in terms of intention. But when it comes to action, it seems like we are where we have been for a very long time. Now, let us move forward, especially when it comes to continental affairs. And when you look at terrorism, either is jihadist, either is M23. You really see that the peace in Africa is not yet found, particularly when it comes to domestic civil unrest. If you look at civil unrest, if you look at the DRC, for example, you realize that rebels continue engaging DRC, the army. Rebels continue engaging the DRC army. Regardless of negotiated peace deals and when you also look at Nigeria, particularly looking at Borno State, you realize that the jihadist continue to cause pressure when it comes to Nigeria. And it is stated that Boko Haram jihadists killed 18 people in Borno State in Nigeria. It is stated that Boko Haram and its rival Islamic State, the West Africa province, have increasingly targeted rogers, farmers, and also fishermen. And Also, small-scale miners, accusing them of spying and passing information to the military. And 18 people were killed. And it's really a pity, especially to the government of Bola Tinubu. So Bola Tinubu is a man who means business. It's a man who means business. But when it comes to the aspect of security, you really realize that Nigeria needs assistance. Nigeria need assistance of African Union and also other African countries. And the question that people are asking, for how long is jihadist going to terrorize Africa? When is Africa going to stand up? Because if you are not standing up now, if you are not assisting Nigeria now, if Nigeria go down, country that has the highest population in Africa, and this population is almost the same as the population of SADC. If it goes down, remember that there is no corner of Africa that is going to be safe, and understand that when the jihadists attack you, they don't only attack you, they also turn you into become one of them. And so Africa will be a paradise of terrorism. Let's look at a short commercial break. Then we'll be able to look at Kenya intelligence report, especially when young people continue dying in Russia. In Russia and Ukraine war, and some are missing. If you look at the intelligence report. The question which I'm always asking is that I am not saying Namibians are there. I think we are safe. But when you look at South Africa, when you look at Zimbabwe, when you look at Cameroon, when you look at Ghana, You look at Kenya. People are complaining about their young people fighting the war in Ukraine. And that war is deadly. No, international attention is not there, but that war is deadly. The other time I was looking at international platform where Russian soldiers are surrendering to robotic soldiers. Understand that war is fought by technology. And believe me, you don't know now if it's Ukraine military power or if it's the true backing of EU. Understand that it's also not easy for Russia, especially when it comes to that war. But when you look at an intelligence report, particularly coming from Kenya there, you really see that the government is concerned about the number of young people dying in the war of, Russia and Ukraine. But for now, let us look at a short commercial break, then we'll continue with the conversation. However, you can still engage us at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401. We know it's very cold, but we have works to do. We have an economy to build. We have a nation to protect. That's why when you are sleeping now, you are not only betraying yourself, you are betraying your country. And also when you are going to be asked a question, especially by your grandchildren, to say, "Uncle, what did you do when things were falling apart? What did we do when things were falling apart?" Those are some of the simple questions that you are not going to be answering, because they are going to be very difficult for you. But you can only change that if you wake up now. Wake up and go to work. If you don't have work, wake up and think. Wake up and do something. If you are retired, there is always something that you can do. Wake up and mentor. And also advise young people. Because the best libraries that we're not taught is our elders who have seen the journey. Because it's not about PhDs, masters and honors degree. It's about people who have seen the journey. To say when a young lady is dancing, is jumping out of the house, and a grandmother understands that system already. Because she has also been in that stage. But when that lady is in trouble, the best advice is not a doctor, but it's a grandmother who have seen the journey and also understand how to go through. And the greatest library are the people that have done a lot of mistakes, are the people that, not only about those who made it in life, but are people that failed so much that they can be able to advise you. Because sometimes we go to advice to people that only have something. But there are people that can save your life because they have experience of life that you will never have. And that's why it's always very important to make sure that elders must also mentor young people. We cannot just say, no, young people are just quieto-quieto. They are just quieto-quieto. They are humbly guys and humbly bubbly. And they are just the guys on TikTok. You know, it's a situation. But countries that are standing on their own. They have their elders advising the young people while the young people are taking the journey. Because that is exactly what needs to be done. Because there are people that are well experienced, but when they return, just buy their Land Cruiser, go to their farm, buy their Land Cruiser and go to the village. Every day, you just wake up and read the newspaper. And go and buy Kapana, which is not wrong, but at least use that time to advise those who also want to be like you, or those who are in the journey of life, because we have a lot of work to do, especially when you look at Namibia, you look at not only the economy, but also the structure, the infrastructure. I was looking at the roads in, I don't know about your town, but in Windhoek, really, it's not only about potholes anymore. Things are out of order. Maybe that the Moses Machai is busy with a plan. Or maybe the Ministry of Works, whoever is responsible. Really, when you look at the informal sector, there's nothing there. I don't know what we are going to tell the tourists that we are telling them that Namibia is a beautiful country and Windhoek is the best city. If they travel to informal sector, there's nothing there. Let us at least adjust and fix those things that need to be fixed while we are focusing on other important things, because if you don't have proper transport infrastructure, if Namibia have roads like this and we are the best in Africa, what about other countries? You really start questioning the meaning of the best. But I think that is also something which we need critical attention, especially urban roads. The highways are understandable, but when it comes to urban roads, really need to work on that. So let us look at a short commercial break, then we'll be able to continue the conversation. And when we are going to look at Kenya, intelligence report, and also about the numbers of citizens who died in fighting on the side of Russia. And we can come back shortly.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Konongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doini nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi tayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa mbara hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu omafelane Eagle FM the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward. With Early Morning Scoop, with me, David Shombe. And looking at Kenya, stated that Kenya Foreign Minister said 19 citizens had been killed fighting on the Ukraine front line. And 32 others were missing as criticism mounts over reports of the forced enlistment of Kenya into the Russian army. And there is something that African leaders are not speaking out loudly, especially when it comes to, I don't know if it's a silent diplomacy or what, when it comes to Russia. Russia is our good friend, but we did not give him a permission to use our sons and daughters to fight at that war. And it's not official. And it's a case which is ongoing, and the records are only being seen, especially when somebody died. And a lot of Africans are dying fighting for Russia. The reason Dudu Zile Sabudra Zuma is out of parliament. Is that case? It almost caused division in MK party in South Africa, especially recruitment of people into Russian front line, and people end up signing contracts and countries that are affected. South Africa, you look at Zimbabwe, you look at Ghana, Cameroon, Kenya. The question that I'm always asking is that where are the Namibians? Are Namibians not part of this? Or is it only that we do not have data? Because some you must check up on your cousin that said he's going abroad, that saying he's going to maybe to school somewhere, or maybe to get a job somewhere, because some of this recruitment schemes, these are some of the things that are bringing people into that aspect. But we must really understand that stuff out there. It was indicating that speaking during the Senate committee session, Musalia Mudavadi said the number of Kenyan enlisted in the Russian army has risen to 291 from previous 250. This an African country intelligence service have put that figure much higher, estimating that more than 1,000 Kenyans have been recruited into Russian military after being lured by recruiters with false promises of lucrative jobs. Because remember, no matter how hungry you are, there is nobody in this life. No matter how desperate you are, there is nobody in this life that is going to give you a free handout. You have to work. You have to go to work to get paid. You have to do something to be paid. You have to work. If somebody says he's going to pay you $20,000 per month or $10,000 per month, and you're going to get it, well, to get a job in Russia, you want to tell me that there are no unemployed people in Russia? You must think that way. And there are Namibians that when somebody is telling you about what you want, you don't think about what that person wants. And it's quite dangerous. Especially when we are in a desperate situation. Just put it this way. When an international syndicate, for example, look at Namibia, they are looking at a gold mine. They are looking at a country with high economic inequality, a country with thousands of graduates who are desperate to find jobs. And the easy thing to do is to come up with an online scheme to say you don't want to work abroad. This is the amount of money. These are the passport, you are the lucky one. Then at the end of the day, you find yourself having an AK-47 there, fighting with drones, and you don't even understand. Even if you are saying you are going home, people are speaking Russian. And it's quite a pity. Now I don't know if the Russians are also dying on the front line, or it's only African people. It's only us who are put on the front line. And coming from Namibia or South Africa, and you're going to fight with a drone, or a robot that is armed, how are we going to win? And that's why most of our sons and daughters, they leave their country, not really because they want to leave their country, just because of a desperate situation. Most of these people are young men who find themselves in that situation. And the foreign minister, when he visited Moscow, he talked with top diplomats, especially the foreign minister of Kenya, to stop forced conscription to fight Russia-Ukraine war. Because one thing that people are not telling is that Ukraine is powerful. That is one thing that people don't want to speak about. It's the same way when you're looking at Iran. Fighting a superpower for more than 3 years, you are also not easy. Whether you are powerful on your own, whether you are supported by EU, that can also tell you that Ukraine is very powerful and is deadly, particularly for somebody coming from the jungle of Africa, going to fight that war. And something that need to be looked at, and it's also information that need to be given to Namibians to say, this is what is happening around the world. When you see people abroad, you also want to go abroad. Yes, you can go abroad, but at an understandable, an official line. Yeah, there is something good which happened in Namibia. And I think Namibian sport, especially the boxing, they proved me wrong. They really proved me wrong, because I was asking a question to say, why Namibians they lose a lot of international fights. I think I was proven wrong, especially in the weekend. But I also maintain my argument to say we also need to fight outside so that we can win. But the best thing that happened in the weekend is that Namibian boxer Philippus Energy Mutumba defeated Ronaldo Carrillo from United States of America for the WBO Global Super Bantamweight title at MT Sinesta Nesta Sunshine Boxing Bonanza. And that was organized to give tribute to the founding father. And there is one thing that this man has spoken about. He's now a world champion. Looking at his weight, he said something after winning that. And he said he does not have employment. He said he wants recruitment, either he's in the police or NDF. And it's not only him. This is a message that is telling you to say Namibian boxers, they are going through a lot. Namibian boxers are working so hard, or Namibian athletes in general, they are working so hard, but they don't have a backing apart from sponsors or trainers. They don't have a backing, they don't have something to fall on. That's why this message must really go. Not really to say it's only him, but also what do you do to people that are not only boxing, but people that are putting Namibian flag, on the map. And also to say, do we only support people when they are winning, but when they are defeated? How many Namibian boxers gave up boxing just because of financial support? How many Namibian boxers gave up sport just because of financial support? And when you look at incidents which is happening in sport, you really see that we are still just speaking. We are still not really doing much, especially upgrading Namibian athletes. Either supporting them post-retirement. We're just looking at them shining. We are just very happy. Shall we lead them top of the game? But after retirement, we don't go and say, where are you, chief? What other plan? What other, assistance do you need? Because if you move around, not only Windhoek, you go to Swakopmund and everywhere, you meet people that were playing for not only national team, but bigger teams. But when you look at the situation where they are, you don't only want to cry, but you are asking a question to say, what is really wrong with our institutions? And what can we do to make sure that those who brought us on the map are protected? Especially when a boxer won, but defeated an American champion, and took a mic and said, we don't have support. And that is a situation of every Namibian, that we don't only need the job now, we need it at of yesterday. And we need those boxers to be given facilities, and also to be given, even just professionalizing. It's not a matter of saying, all athletes must be given job in NDF or in the police or in correctional services. Just professionalizing sport code. Just professionalize it and make sure that you learn from other countries to say, I just wake up and go to the gym. Some of us, we wanted to be karate masters. I just want to wake up and go to the gym. I want to wake up and go to training and make sure that that's my full-time job. And when fight comes, I don't need to be scared. I will be very happy even thinking about the days of the fight. But Namibian boxers compared to others, you really say that some of them, they go there with really ambition. Some of them, they just want to fight at least to get coins. But you really see those who are very talented, but because of that support, they will not get anywhere. And I hope that Dino Barotti got that message to say it's not only him. See, a man has a title, but a man is crying to say it's not only him, but also others which need assistance. So let us look at the short commercial break. Then we can be able to continue with the conversation. Stay tuned, because today we'll be joined by analysts that are looking at the case of South Africa to say... South Africa had, has, you know, dynamic politics. But one thing that you must understand is that the institution of South Africa, they have managed to maintain, because people come and go. Judges come and go. Because it's only in South Africa which I have seen a judge being questioned. A judge being, you know, judicial system being held accountable. But when you come to Namibia, do you really want to tell me that we do not have judges who make mistakes or who don't do right things? It's just a question of curiosity, or the accountability mechanism is not public. Because if a judge can hold a politician accountable, it must be vice versa. If a judge can hold, you know, executive accountable, it must be vice versa. But is that really what we are saying? But when you come to South Africa, whether you are a head of public protector, whether you are a head of national prosecution authority, whether you are chief justice, if they want you, if you did something, they will come and call you. Look at the way Cyril is. And he's still my favorite president, by the way. But look at where he is. Is he going to win? Maybe he's going to win. Maybe there are other cards that we do not know. But the one thing that we are going to look at today is institutions holding each other accountable, the check and balance. To say, if the magistrate made something, but I think in Namibia, so you only see magistrate, but you've had three here to say, no judge who was called to order. You want to tell me that since, or is me who did not read about that, since 1990, all the judgments are just correct. Yes, we know there were those which were reviewed, but who was held accountable in Namibia? Because when people look at the judiciary, they think is something which is far from other institutions of the state. But it's part of us. And it must also be checked correctly so that we can move forward. But yeah, let's look at a short commercial break, then we can continue.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete okoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi to danjuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doini nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi tayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamwiri nawa. Ninge fata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in.
If you lost your show, all of that you could tungupo. Oma wa o tomono okujako NHP. Genge wa longi fire longi foli lipedulo wa wo haku. Olo halipiti kwa efiku ne fiku. Mefiloshi shelo haku oe. Owa woshimali wa oshosha kupako. Washika wet gelwa komto alando lako. Kashi, koma punglo e na shano unjolo welewe. Otodulo okulongi fa oma wa oe. Wa hupuko, opouna miti toshiningi momikalo dihapungashi. Okufutila po oimali wa ishona. Oyo hodulo okupolwa. Ulifutila ove mwene. Oma yakulo olu hapu. Hakala ina kwa telwa. Mo wawe kwa folo elo unamiti. Ile, otodulo no kuli. Okupitifapo e mwedi donumba. Tokala inofuta ea kulolo elo unamiti. Kwa uyalele uhapu, talela po nhp.com.na. Ema ngono malandola fwana ododi na okulandulwa. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward. Yeah, we are moving forward with early morning scoop. And there's one thing that also happened, especially the awarding of the West Africa Heroes Award to Dr. Professor Prof Doctor David Richard Namwandi, especially due to his contribution, outstanding leadership and contribution to our education, and it's really a great achievement. The West Africa Heroes Award, it's an award that is honoring those who did well. And we must really thank those who did well in Namibia, those who created employment, because I'm here because somebody created employment and a platform for me. And people such as Professor Namwandi, he's the only politician, maybe show me one or two, who did what most politicians said. He was in the system. He was a deputy minister of education. And at that point, people could not really see him because he was, under Abraham Yambo and took over a little bit after the departure of Yambo from this earth. But he's the only politician who did not only say, guys, create employment. He left politics. From politics, he used his knowledge and did what other people just continue saying. And it's really a very good example to see somebody who understands the system, somebody who have seen the education system, somebody who studied education, business, and leadership, and realized to say, with these skills, I'm going to do this. You know, you have... People not only in Namibia but in other part of the world who have sit in various boards, people who have sat who have seen the world, people who sat at international stage, people who have titles that you are scared of even sitting closer to him, people who had ranks, who are known all part of the world, but when they leave their position, they go back home, or they will still move around the politics to say, can you please give me another term? Can you please give me even advisory position? Well, sometimes you can really say, why can't you utilize that knowledge that you've got at least to do something? But it's also something that we should advocate for, to say, if, for example, any business school in Namibia does not have a case study of Dr. Namwandi, and other Namibian entrepreneurs. I think it's a failure to our generation to say, if you go to business school, if you are studying entrepreneurship, you must have a case study of Tatena Mwandi, you must have a case study of Aupa Indongo. People can argue, but these are some of the people that have brought Namibia where it is now, particularly in terms of business and also in terms of impact. Because sometimes you look at International University of Management and you ask yourself to say, man, is this a government institution? It's not a government institution. Somebody did that. Look at the Idongo building and many other Namibians. But when you go to business school, you have case studies of Harvard professors. We have case studies of business people from UK and the non-Namibian example. When you have public lectures at Paris Business School, you see people are inviting, people that you don't even know, but the local example is not there. But I think it's an achievement that should be celebrated, and not only about celebrated, but at least to learn one or two from those who created opportunity. Because in Namibia, even somebody, if you create employment for two people, you must be thanked, because there's still somebody there who have more power, who have more connection, who have more knowledge even than you. But that person did not even create one employment, apart from maybe a housekeeper that he has. But if you have young entrepreneurs or Namibian entrepreneur who create jobs even for 2-5 people, that is a very big thing. It's a very big thing, because many Namibians, we are still speaking, we are still wishing, we are still theorizing, but when it comes to practicals, I think we are far behind. So we go to a short commercial break. From there, we'll be able to speak with Gabriel Yambo and Zakaria Johannes to see the case of South Africa. To see when he's coming to South Africa. He's coming to Mzanzi. Where is Mzanzi going? Where is South Africa going? And the last born of South Africa, Namibia. What example are we learning? Because we're always behind. South Africa is getting a punch. We are also crying to say no. And it's really an unfortunate thing that Cyril is cornered. Nobody wish a bad thing to happen. But there's also a saying to say, justice denied is justice delayed. To say I can run for a very long time, but I cannot run every day. But we see, they call him... They call him a Bufaro. He's also a political tactician. Maybe he's going to survive, because African politics, and there are two people that you must respect in South African politics. That is Gwene Matashe, Julius Marem, and also maybe Arthur Fraser, because those three guys, when presidents, the fall of the African presidents, when Becky was forced to resign, Marema was a friend of Zuma. When Zuma was forced to resign, Marema is on this side. When Cyril is called back to order by the Constitutional Court, by the Chief Justice that he appointed himself, Marema put on that application with others. But you also understand that there is also Gwene Matashe. They call him Tiger. And well respected Minister of Mines and Energy. And Gwene Matashe is called the King Maker. In most cases, it's like he appointed presidents because his political influence is that of the point of that being uncle who back one horse and it come out victorious. Look at all the presidents. Gwene Matashe has always been there. But there is a guy who brought also almost scarce in South Africa. He's a former head of intelligence called Arthur Fraser. He's the man who saved Jacob Zuma when they were fighting with Thabo Mbeki and released some of the very sensitive, records that, brought, Mbeki into problems. And he's still the same guy who said the money that was found in the sofa at Palapala Farm was not recorded. And Namibian guys, some of the men from Namibia, stole that money. And it was not reported to the police. And remember, if you want to understand whatever I say, why everything which is happening in South Africa, know that Namibians, we are directly involved in that case. Because had it not been a Namibian, those who harvest what they did not sow, it could not be that. But that is exactly what is happening. Let's look at a short commercial break, then we'll be able to communicate with Gabriel Yambo and to look at the future and also the prediction and also to see what Namibia can learn, particularly the check and balance of institutions.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nenge lo wapumbwa eva tere uliko ni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite okoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi gayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu omafelane Eagle FM the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. It's 14 minutes past the hour of 7. And I'm joined on the line by Gabriel Yambo, especially to look at the case of South Africa. To say Mzanzi, South Africa is very closer to us. Whatever happened there politically, economically, diplomatically or militarily, we must be concerned. And the case of Cyril is our case. And today we speak about institution of democracy. And also, what does it mean? What are the possibility? What maybe will happen? And also, what Namibia can learn? Gabriel Yambo, good morning, and thank you for joining us at Early Morning Scoop.
Good morning, David, and thank you for the opportunity to discuss this very important matter of our neighbor.
Yeah, our neighbor is our big brother.
Yes. And also to put in mind that this it was actually the Namibians that caused all these problems that are happening with the president of South Africa.
Yeah, we have ourselves to blame. Now let us start with it. You know, Justice Meyer on Friday, yeah, gave an indication that you know, the Parliament of South Africa did not follow the rules, particularly blocking the unpacking of the report and also recommending the report of Palapala to impeachment inquiry. Now, what are some of in your analysis, what are some of the steps maybe that will be taken, and is the President of South Africa has a way out of this?
At this moment, I am of the opinion that the President is really in big trouble, because you remember when the ANC parliamentarians blocked his impeachment.
Yeah.
It was because of the majority that they had in parliament. But now, mm-hmm, you are in a situation where they are sharing power with other political parties.
Mm.
So I foresee that this impeachment will be renewed again. And then, because ANC is not the one that is in power, they are going to be in trouble. The possibility of the President of South Africa to be impeached is quite very high.
Now, looking at that context, there are two things to say. When you are impeached, you are going to be stripped of all your benefits, all your payment, your protection, and all these things. But there is also another option of resigning or challenging that that report. But now let us look at the other possibilities also to say, now you have a president who is cornered either to resign or to face that consequences, and also you know, management of coalition. Now what does this say about institution of democracy? Is this saying that South Africa is matured in terms of its democracy, or is not yet at that point, especially calling the president to order?
No, this is a clear indication that South Africa democracy is robust, is matured.
Mm.
There is no any... You can say the president is not an autocratic, he's not imposing his own will, because, you know, I mean, the president who's being challenged in some other African countries, these things are, what's happening in Africa is an illusion. It will not happen.
You're not even mentioning it in your own private space, in your own room alone.
Yes. Mm. So this is a clear indication that South Africa's democracy is matured. Democracy is flourishing.
Mm.
So it's a good sign. It's a good thing for democracy wins at this point. But I have another concern, because the former state security boss Asa Fraser made some revelation in some podcast. That he was offered a bribe, $50 million, for him to withdraw the charges that he made against the president when this case unfolded. Now, my fear is that if all this were to be added, then it's going to be very bad for the president.
Now, Gabriel, let us look at the institution of the state. We see commonalities between Namibia and South Africa. Let me give you, for example, there is an ongoing, you know, investigation within South African judiciary and the police service. You have suspended Minister of Police. You have suspended National Commissioner. You have suspended the Deputy National Commissioner. You have, you know, enacting police. Now you have, you also have a vice president who is being questioned of, a lot of, dealings. And, you have a lot of things going on. Now, when you come to Namibia, you also see that, we are also having now, is it a coincidence or our system? What is really happening? What does it say when, particularly the cluster that was supposed to keep law enforcement in order? it's not, you know, you will see its top echelon either is suspended or fired. And it's also happening in Namibia. What is really happening within that institution?
I can jokingly say the provinces of South Africa.
Yeah.
Provinces of South Africa.
Yeah.
But much of this has to do with politics. You know that in South Africa, people are working hard to remove ANC from power and to make sure that it remains powerless. And we are much also heading. A few years are left for us to go for election, and I'm very sure that these opposition parties in South Africa are working very hard to make sure that ANC lose power completely. Also, much of it has to do with people, you know, fighting for power, and behind the scene, it's quite ugly, and people are doing anything to make sure that the government of South Africa, even though now it's coalition, seems to be doing very bad things. Much of things that that are not supposed to be made public are quite made public with ease. And you look at our state house and our government, you know, information are being linked purposely.
That's exactly what I want to get into, because I've seen a lot of analysis are saying when you start leaking information, particularly high level people, their movement, their facilities, it becomes dangerous and all on. Now is the security cluster in Southern Africa political, and also what can be done to make sure that when it comes to security, law enforcement agencies, there is a quite a big distinction, because when you see, particularly in Southern Africa, you start realizing that the line is starting now to fade between those who are supposed to keep law and order, those who are supposed to be purely to say state institution, come thunder, come fire, this is protection. But now seeing, I don't need to see the private message of ministers, but now when you start seeing, you ask yourself a question to say, how come these things start coming to public also? And who politicizes the security system in Southern Africa?
The problem lies specifically, I blame this on politicians. Politicians, they are the ones that are politicizing, you know, the security clusters. I was listening to Fraser, former security head, and he's saying he was offered millions, and then he was told, choose any position in government that you want, you'll be given as long as you withdraw
the case. Do you know that he's still the same person who removed Becky?
Now the politicians are the ones who are politicizing our security clusters. They are the one, you know, in Namibian case, you know, they are the one that are appointing security chiefs. And it's a matter of, I appoint you, you do what I want, you misbehave, you are fired, you are replaced. It's not good. And then now, we are looking at our security institutions as a space for politics. It's not about providing security anymore. It's about politics, which is not good. At the end of the day, our police, our security executives, they are not focusing on security anymore, because now they are thinking, maybe I will be replaced. I need to do what the politicians are saying.
They are looking at an alliance. Before we look at how this will impact Namibia, let us look at the issue of accountability. I see some things, most of the accountability issues happening in South Africa. And we have also seen the judges being called to order, either appear before the panel We see a national prosecution authority head. We see, you know, head of public protector being brought to order, being questioned by parliament. Now I'm asking myself in Namibia to say, don't we have judges who make mistakes? Don't we have top judiciary officials who are called to order? Or is their accountability secret? What does it say? That, what does that say about our democracy when you are comparing to Namibia?
I'm very happy with Namibia because in South Africa, things are unfolding because there's too much going on behind the scenes. There's corruption, there's bribery, there's ugly things happening that behind the scenes there that we, the public, will not see. And you only hear these things when there's a public inquiry. And you see people who are supposed to be security chiefs are questioned and they can't answer. And then now you realize, how was this person appointed? So, therefore, I would say in Namibia we are doing good.
But do you hold the judiciary accountable in Namibia?
They might just misbehave and do unethical things, and then you will see. Because now it's very difficult. If there's a judge involved in corrupt practices, things will unfold. But for now, I think maybe they are doing their best. Yes.
No, that is a good answer, especially to say, maybe they are doing their best. That's why you don't really see that. Maybe they are holding themselves to the highest standard, which is a good thing. Now let us look at how this would tend to Namibia. I don't want us to touch more on economy, because whatever happened in South Africa has a direct impact on us. Let's say whatever happened to Cyril resigned or impeached or survived, or DAU pulled out of the GNU, whatever will happen, especially when it comes to stability of governance, because South Africa is at a testing time now, particularly in Southern Africa, especially constituting government, which is quite the most difficult. Who do you think is a replacement? Who do you think will be a replacement if that happened to be the case? And how is that going to affect Namibia, particularly in terms of the way we do things? Or we should not worry?
No, we should worry. We should worry very much. In fact, it does not have effect on South Africa only. This is a Southern Africa problem. And I'm telling you,
it's even a BRICS problem.
I'm telling you, it's a Namibia problem, it's a Botswana problem, it's a Lesotho problem, it's a Zimbabwe problem. You know, Cyril was in Zimbabwe this,
last week.
So, that's what we want in Southern Africa, is a stable South Africa with a stable government. Because much of our trade is interconnected with South Africa.
Indeed.
And the political stability, the peace, we need this thing for us to prosper, for us to trade, for us to have nice things, even here in Namibia. The moment we have disruption in South Africa, politically, economically, we are going to be in trouble, especially now that we are facing energy and fuel increases. It's a problem. We should remain hopeful that either Syria will survive or ANC survive. So we don't need
disruption.
I'm not campaigning, but to have a DA in power in South Africa is a very bad problem for Southern Africa. Yes.
Maybe just lastly to say, we see history taught us to say, countries that developed, to say, they went through almost the same crisis. Let's hold on for a short period of time. Go to a short commercial break and come back.
When it comes comes to managing your investments, should you rely on one expert or a team of specialists? With a multi-managed portfolio from Alex Forbes, your funds are guided by carefully selected investment experts, working together to pursue more consistent outcomes. We pair the right managers behind the scenes so you don't have to manage multiple relationships. Strengthen your investment destination. Visit alexforbes.com today.
Alex Forbes Namibia is registered and regulated by NAMFISA.
Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. I'm joined online by Gabriel Yambo, especially to unpack what's happening in South Africa, particularly regarding Cyril Ramaphosa and face of impeachment process. Now, last three, maybe is it the sign of growth of institutions? Because we see history taught us to say countries have to go through pain, has to go through restructuring. When you look at the history of Britain, people were killing each other. The church was fighting with the kings until they come to the point of strengthening institution. You look at America, civil war, revolution, and now they are where they are. Maybe is it a sign of when you see things are happening, either it's in Namibia or South Africa, it is a sign of growth.
Yeah, it's really a sign of growth, especially in South Africa. You see that even in America, the Clinton who was impeached, it's a sign that there's no one central power, a president. It's just somebody who was elected by the people to work for the people. Mm. And if the people are not happy with you, the state institution will deal with you. Mm. So, and in this case, it was even Ramaphosa's fault himself. Why do you have cash in your farm? You are the one who brought it upon to yourself. But as long as this problem will be resolved peacefully with state institutions, then it's a sign of growth. It's a good thing. It's part of democracy. So,
yes. Just last word. What can we learn from this? What can we learn as ordinary citizens, as Namibians, particularly regarding power and also, you know, the law? Just 2 points.
Yeah. This is a reminder to us that we have to, let's just do things according to the books. Follow the rule of law. You do something, there's consequences that will follow you. You keep a large amount of money that's supposed to be in the bank, and you think you are a president, nothing will happen to you. The law will come after you.
Yes, Gabriel Yambo, thank you very much for your time. Thank you for your input.
Thank you very much, and have a very good morning.
All right, you too.
Sure.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. It's to say, it's not me. Say the DA in power. It's difficult. It's not me. But it will happen because looking at how things are now, places are divided. And even Julius Malema himself, he has a case to answer. He's given 5 years in jail. And there's an opportunity to appear. And understand that one of his leading lawyer is also appointed as a judge. I don't know how things are going to work out, particularly on appearing when Tebegan Kukaitombe is going to start. But also know that there's no guarantee. And put a scenario. Do a scenario planning where the case where you have Julius lost his appeal. I'm just giving an example. Then you have a case of an impeachment process succeed. Then you have an option to say they will take the deputy president, that is Paul Mashatire. But is the DA going to accept Paul Mashatire? If they don't accept Paul Mashatire, don't be surprised if they take people who can fit anyway. There are those politicians that you put him at mining, he do very well. You put him in planning. You put him at But it matters defense and security. There are those who can survive everywhere. That's why I was listening to the analysis of, Dr. Mpofu and Goni, which indicated that don't be surprised if they pick Mr. Tao or Dr. Ramakgopa. But that is South Africa to decide, especially the future, because it's not looking good. It's not looking good, especially we have a fragile and shaking power. Because one thing you need to understand that, you know, politics, people can come and go, but the state institution remain. And I'm also concerned about the public protector, because what has happened there, public protector defended Tatesiri Ramaphosa when she was enacting. She got an appointment as a full-time public protector. And you also look at the former Zondo commission chair, Justice Zondo, to say what is really was everything which was happening really according to the books, or was to side with the men in power. But it's an interesting case to look at. But Cyril, it's a political survivor. It's not yet out. And we have seen how he has come. And just know, for somebody to become a president is not easy. You navigate a lot of trouble. Because you become number one citizen out of over 50 million, out of 60 million people. You become number one citizen. You are not yesterday. You understand how to survive. But the question is that are you guilty or you are not guilty? And how things are going to turn out. But it's up to see how things are going to turn out. You cannot decide for the future. And God is for everyone. We see how things will turn out. Because it's how you play. It's not about, us human beings designed by the future. It's not guaranteed. But let's see how South Africa will turn out. But the question is only that Namibia. Because we are scratching our head to say, let there be stability in South Africa. Because apart from us looking at the Middle East, and also looking at increment in the price of oil, we are speaking about what will happen to our dollar that we peg to South Africa. What will happen? Let there be stability. Let those who backed, those who have financial power, not pull out. Because investment and unrest, they are not friends. And that exactly can also tell you, especially when it comes to the very offer end, what will happen during that process. And the ANC is also a card to play. I don't know if it's today or tomorrow they will hold an ad hoc, NEC meeting to decide on the future. And I'm still looking at how things are going to come out. But let's wait and see. Especially in South Africa, because it's not a good thing for Southern Africa. It's not a good thing for BRICS. And it will also be a celebration for the Western world. It will be a celebration for the Western world, especially if South Africa collapses politically. Because they have already taught us that we are not able to govern ourselves. And looking at the relationship between South Africa and the US, you already say that, questioning yourself to say what really happened and what will happen in the future, but you have to see. Good morning. Good morning.
Hello?
Yes, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
I'm good. How are things going?
Yes.
May you please speak up? Are you feeling cold? You are on N, eh? Yeah, you can call back at 083-288-401, 083-288-401, so that you can air your view, your opinion. Maybe the phone, dial itself. It miss, Eagle FM Namibia. You can still call back at 083-288-401. Let's go to a short commercial break. From there, we will be able to look at the Villager newspaper. What do we have in today's Villager newspaper? and continue with the conversation.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere uliko ni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu omafilane Eagle FM. The eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombele, where he unpacks global affairs, analyzes issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, 42 minutes past the hour of 7. You are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. Let us look at what is in the Villager newspaper for today. On top of the Villager newspaper, capital and registrative support to be provided to a Pangelo Mining. It's maybe a state-owned company. Capital and registrative support to be provided to a Pangelo Mining. And stated that to address the limited participation of Namibians in the mining sector, the Ministry of Industry, Mines and Energy is committed to support local businesses and developing, implementing local content policies for the sector. Read that article, get that content, especially from page 1 to page 2 of the Villager newspaper. And when it comes to page 3, it's notice for public participation, especially when it comes to Environmental Impact Assessment, EIA, Environmental Impact Assessment Study for the proposed rezoning of R3522 Avis Bay from single residential to local business with bulk factor of 2. To say, those who do Environmental Impact Assessment. Look at page 3 of the Villager newspaper and get that content. Looking at page 4, it's indicated that Namibia eye banana self-sufficiency. And Namibia want, when it comes to banana, they want to stand on their own. Cannot just take banana from wherever, from South Africa, Angola. But we want to stand on our own. We really see that Namibia is pushing, but let us put fire where there is more energy. And you see entrepreneurs, and you also see, Namibian projects, which are making sure that when it comes to bananas, they are also upgrading that game stated that Namibia has taken steps toward reducing its dependency on imported fruits. Its promising banana harvest trials at the Tunda in Omsati showed positive results. And it's a very good development on that aspect. Because we need to feed ourselves. We don't only need banana. We need post-banana products. Those post-banana products, because we can't just... For how long we have been eating ndunga? For how long we have been eating, embe? How long we have been eating, eshegere and many others? But there is no products after that. After we eat, we finish. Then we go home. We've been eating groundnuts for a very long time. Now people are making peanut butter. We've been eating, sweet potatoes for a long time. But let us add value. And that should also be the question that every business person that is going to attend Namibia EU business going to must have, especially when it comes to that aspect. Looking at page six, Yusef said, real good chicken, 199, that is a 4 kg. Real good chicken, 199. Then you also have a combo of Bokomo fat cake wheat flour. You also have super maize meal, 10 kg. You have nice rice plus marathon white sugar, or at 10 kg. At just 589 Namibian dollars. Moving forward, you look at SA court ruling serve as a test to democratic institutions. And get page eight, then you get to the context, particularly with what South African Constitutional Court has stated, and what in addition to what we have discussed. Masters of Higher Education at Valvicha University. People are speaking about postgraduate education because an honors degree is no more enough. A BTD is no more on the system. And a diploma in education is not more enough. People want to be masters of higher education. A master of higher education with Valvicha University. And no corner of the world will stop you if you want to be a faculty officer. You want to manage an academic institution. You want to be a professor. Master higher education. And move to that aspect. And become a transformer of education system. Yeah. Looking at page 10. Page 10 of the Village newspaper stated that Andresen, Namibia, joined Andresen Groba. And that is stated that Andresen, Namibia, a Widuk accounting and taxation firm, has become full member of the firm of one of the world largest professional services network, that is Andresen Groba. And that is... worth noting to say Namibia is not only developing in terms of capacity, but also in terms of institutional expansion and also recognition. Once you become part of global bodies, particularly in professional bodies, then it's easier for you to navigate the changing, international trade, and also make sure that you train professionals that can work anywhere. Because if somebody asks you a question to say, if you're a political analyst in Namibia, can you go to UK and get a job as a political analyst? If you are an accountant now in Namibia, can you get a job in UK and you become an accountant? If you are an engineer now, can you go in Australia and you become a full-time engineer? Those are the questions that you need to ask yourself. And professional bodies connect you to this standardization. It's the same with project management. If you are a certified project manager, can only work in Namibia. But if I take you to North Korea, can you manage a project there? Or if I take you to Russia, can you manage a project there? Or you are just here. But professional bodies must really upgrade that. And one thing that you need to know, apart from Andresen taxation. It happened everywhere. There is no profession without the professional body. If it does not have a professional body, there is an institution that is guiding that. From politics to economics to accounting to engineering, don't have a career and you are standing on your own. You must make sure that you associate with people that studied what you have studied. If there is a political science association, go there. If there is a body of economists in Namibia, and you're an economist, if there is an accounting firms, accounting young professional bodies, go there. If there is councils of advocates and you're an advocate, go there. Because one of the things that keep us behind is operating isolation and also standing independently. Why is necessary, but it's also important to know where people are. If you are a farmer, you can't just be a farmer, but you are dining with taxi drivers. If you are a taxi driver, dine with taxi drivers so that you know what's happening in the industry. That's why professional bodies, not only those which are standardized professional bodies, but associations too, can take us somewhere. If you are a student, but you are not part of any student association or any student WhatsApp group, how will you know the information? How will you know that enough money has come? You will not know, but you must be part of, associates. Looking at the industrial briefs, switch auctions saved the government during bond maturity. The economist, they understand that there are cards too being played, especially when you are dealing with bonds, when you are dealing with payment of the money, because the financial system is not constant, it's flexible. And I stated that last year, the government avoided paying approximately 6.4 billion in a bond redemption by allowing investors to switch their investment to long-term dated bonds. To say it's about cuts, when the finance advisor and the finance ministry also need to understand the game that is being played by financial professional, because you have to dodge bullets and you also need to dodge, lethal or gun bullets, but you also dodge, some of the problems that can come if you don't make a calculated financial decision. And some of these are invisible war that are being fought, particularly for those who want to save our economy. To say last year, the government has avoided paying 6.4 billion by making sure that, guys, let us take it to the long-term bonds so that we can survive. And there's a tactic being used, particularly if you want to protect your economy and also want to renegotiate. It's not only happening in Namibia. It's also in Ethiopia. It's also cornered. But you need a wise finance minister and financial advisor and a capable, reserve bank so that you can navigate this, situation. Commodity continue to dominate the export basket. Namibia export basket for 2020 to March 2026 mainly composed of commodities from the mining sector, such as uranium, non-monetary gold, and also nickel or concentrates and precious stones. And this continue to tell you that in the top five of our export, we are still operating raw. Operating wrong. Somebody must come and prove me wrong to say, when are we going to get our finalized product to dominate the top five? Even if you are if it's number five of the top five, it's still fine. But if you are still in 2026 and you are operating at row, then there is a long way to go. Four local contractors contracting a Tango mine. It's a great development to say Tango mine been contracted by four local contractors. And it's not only good for Namibian employment, but also to give trust and also power to local business operators. There is an opinionated article, State Capacity and Enabling Role. Opinionated article by Ephraim Shimbari. looking at state capacity and enabling law. Opinionated article by Ephraim Shimbari. Get the context of the Villager newspaper for today, and you will not be able to miss out. So you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401, 083-288-401, because we have enough time to engage with you, especially this Monday. And the cold Monday, are you still sleeping? I'm still sleeping. I'm still in bed. Or you have moved. Because you can't be sleeping this time. You're not only betraying your own self, but you are betraying Namibian economy. Wake up and think. Wake up and work. Wake up and do better. You know, because we need an active generation. We know things are not tough. But there's one thing we want to speak about, especially when it comes to violence out there. Things that us young men are doing. We need to speak with each other. We need to speak with each other. And it's not only happening now. But when you look at the northern part of Namibia, I don't know, you know what these guys are using. What really happening? It's always a case of young men beating out or killing family members. Asking yourself a question to say, is it alcohol? Is it drugs? Is it rituals? And after killing your grandmother and you are going to a bar, we do not understand to say, is under the influence of liquor? Or really personally just have mental illness? There are people who like hiding mental illness. If somebody is sick, take the person to the social work. Take the person to the hospital, because you cannot afford to lose our elders, continuing our elders, such a traumatic, incident, and such a young man. It's not only about what he has done, you also need to look at his life to say what will happen to this young person. And there is also an argument which I get into, especially with feminist advocate, when they start bringing out the words such as toxic masculinity and all these things, start to really think that, yes, you can say that thing, but there's also things that people must be blamed to say. Empowering one sector of the society and leaving another sector of the society, you are creating monsters that you are not going to handle. Because if you are upgrading and you are empowering women and children very well, upgrading them, giving them opportunity, and you are not giving them and you're also giving them education and money and support, psychological support. But the men, when you wake up, it's already pain. When you're a teenager, life is painful. You are on your own. And you are expected to figure things out. When you are stuck, you are on your own. And you expect that person who is empowered to take a husband from where. And it's really something that society must come and sit. And speak. And who thought African leaders that ahead of I don't want to say gender ministry, but a head of gender institution must always be a female? Who thought that person are they the only one who understand? But maybe things are yet to come, but we need to look at that. And I'm very happy with the president has said, especially at the NAS, to say, no, these numbers are not right. The boy child must be brought on board, because he's far behind. He's there in the street grabbing phones, he's there at the bar drinking, and he's there, grabbing phones, and he's there stealing, not really because person is want to steal, but sometimes you look at the background. Was a little empowering and is pressured to survive and also succeed. But that thing is really need to be upgraded. And also, those who are champion of feminism ideology, they must really be lenient to a young man and bring them on board, because otherwise, really, what happened in the north in the weekend is not only bad things, bad news must not be tolerated. And must be prevented as of yesterday, so that we can have a better society. not Namibia to be a horror movie, which continue to, you know, give a bad image. So, dear listener, that brings us to the end of our conversation. And it's 8 sharp. It's 8 sharp and 8 a.m. I'm going to give the mic to the big mic at Ondangwa to unpack the day. From me, David Shombe, bye-bye. See you around. And enjoy your weekend. You start the weekend at a greater note. Now, it's cold when if you are stuck in your blanket, possibility for you to be stuck there. The whole week is there. But make sure that you wake up and make sure that your Monday is not blue, as a lot of people like indicating to say it's a blue Monday. Make sure that it's a productive Monday. And we do the best that we can. And we left everything in the hands of, the possibility of positivity. Bye-bye. See you around. Shap, shap.